WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, October 5th. Coming up, a question before voters in Illinois asks whether protections for collective bargaining rights should be expanded and added to the Constitution. That story from Alex Stegman in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois State Board of Education is taking suggestions from the public as it puts together a budget plan for next school year. Susie Ahn reports.
Teacher Summer Butler says her Bellwood School District in the western suburbs is not adequately funded. It's understaffed and overcrowded.
They constantly make unfavorable compromises due to costs outweighing affordability, such as not hiring additional staff and instructional coaches, as well as after-school program services.
Like many who testified at ISBE's budget hearing, Butler called for an additional $550 million investment in the state school funding system that's meant to increase equity. Others suggested an increase in early childhood funding and after-school programs. The board is also holding an in-person meeting tomorrow afternoon in Springfield and another virtual hearing on October 24th. ISBE will submit its recommendations to the governor and the General Assembly in January. I'm Susie Ahn.
The Champaign group Party for Socialism and Liberation held a rally last night to protest a regional pregnancy center they say pressures people not to get abortions. The protesters gathered outside the iHotel and Conference Center in Champaign, while members of the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center held a fundraiser inside. Protester Alexandra Schneeberger says Champaign officials should take action against the center.
Just because Roe v. Wade has been overturned on the federal level doesn't mean that small change and things like this can't continue to happen.
On its website, Living Alternatives promotes itself as an organization committed to making sure women understand their options when it comes to pregnancy. No one from the center was available to comment about the protest. Families are beginning to weigh in on plans from the Champaign Unifor School District to change how it assigns students to elementary schools next year. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, some families are excited that the district wants to further desegregate schools.
Shanita Weatherall likes the idea of her daughter attending school with students who live near both Booker T. Washington and Carrie Busey elementary schools. Weatherall is a Unit 4 kitchen worker and the mother of a fourth grader at Stratton. She prefers the sister school option for next year because she believes it will better combine high and low income students.
Because I feel like they'll get more learning, you know, teachers are have more time to pay attention to them, and you know, I think they'll just learn more.
The Unit 4 School Board plans to vote on the school assignment procedure this December. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Families can weigh in on their options via an online survey or small group in-person meetings through the end of October. A group of defectors from North Korea shared their stories over the weekend on the University of Illinois' Urbana campus. The group Liberty in North Korea, or LINK, provided a forum for four defectors. Advocates with the organization say they want to change the world's image of North Korean people to include more than just their government and nuclear weapons. Harry, a defector at the event who goes by a pseudonym for his own protection, says North Koreans need more visibility in the mainstream media.
But even if there's just one person or few people who will lift us up, it can give us hope and courage to share our voice and to have confidence in our identities.
LINK advocates say they organize refugee rescue missions and resettlement to help people safely defect from North Korea. Still to come, we'll learn more about the Workers' Rights Amendment voters will weigh in on this November. That story from Alex Stegman is coming up next on 217 Today.
Friends of WILL can now enjoy the classic British anthology series, The Rivals of Sherlock Holmes. This series brings to life the many detectives of late Victorian London who would have been Sherlock's contemporaries. Episodes feature characters like forensic expert Dr. John Thorndike, notorious private agent Horace Dorrington, ghost hunter Carnacki, and Lady Molly of Scotland Yard. You can stream both seasons of this timeless series with WILL Passport. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois voters will be asked in November whether the state's constitution should be amended to guarantee all workers the right to collectively bargain. As Alex Stegman reports, proponents think this will help create better working conditions for everyone, while opponents see fiscal calamity.
Proponents say the idea, which they call the Workers' Rights Amendment, is simple. They think everyone working in Illinois should have the right to, quote, organize and to bargain collectively through representatives of their own choosing. The amendment would codify the rights of private and public sector workers to negotiate wages, working conditions, and more. Joe Bowen is communications director for the Vote Yes for Workers' Rights campaign. His mother worked as a non-union factory worker as he was growing up, and he remembers the raise that she got when a union shop opened down the street.
The company that my mother worked at decided, hey, we need to do something to compete and keep these employees who keep our business running. And they ended up giving my mom the largest raise that she got in her entire life.
Illinois is not a right-to-work state. That means some employees can be required to join a union, but it doesn't apply to everyone. Agriculture workers, independent contractors, and most notably, public sector workers aren't covered. Bowen and unions want voters to check yes on the ballot to cover those workers, and the amendment would cement union rights in the Constitution rather than just under state law. That would protect pro-union rights from the whims of legislatures and governors. Bowen says ensuring union rights makes economic sense.
Union workers are an incredible benefit to our economy here in Illinois. If you're a member of a union, you make about 15% more on average than your non-union counterpart. You're more likely to have health care.
But therein lies part of the problem for some detractors. Who pays for this?
I am Miley Smith, and I am the staff attorney and the director of labor policy at Illinois Policy Institute.
The Illinois Policy Institute is an advocacy group that lobbies for less government and taxes. It's been among the amendment's loudest detractors, noting several flaws. For one, the amendment purports to protect a worker's economic welfare, but that's not defined. It would prohibit lawmakers from passing something that, quote, interferes with, negates, or diminishes the right of employees to organize and bargain collectively.
They could never limit the subjects of bargaining at the table. They could never limit the duration of contracts. We've seen 10-year contracts in Chicago, in some school districts. So lawmakers could never say, oh, you know, that's a bad idea.
Taken as a whole, Smith says the amendment will lead to higher costs.
There's no limit on what government leaders can be forced to give away because of the powerful strikes that we will see. It's going to drive up the cost of government. And who's going to be forced to pay for that? That's the taxpayers.
Joe Bowen with the Vote Yes for Workers' Rights campaign thinks that's hogwash.
The Workers' Rights Amendment has nothing to do with taxes. This is a deceptive attack being pushed by our opponents to try to confuse folks and scare them out of supporting workers' rights.
Jacob Hubert is executive director of the Liberty Justice Center, which works with the Illinois Policy Institute on a wide range of matters. Hubert's group fought the amendment for months because they believe it's unconstitutional. They challenged it in court and tried to get a judge to block it from appearing on the ballot.
A state law that is preempted by federal law violates the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And so that's why we argue that Amendment 1 is unconstitutional. It tries to do something that the state cannot do because federal law governs in this area.
That court fight went all the way to the state Supreme Court, which affirmed in September the decision to allow the amendment on the ballot. It's the only statewide referendum, and it will show up as a proposed amendment to the 1970 Illinois Constitution. I'm Alex Degman.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny and warm today with a high of 75 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Susie Ahn, Hannah Lonergan, Emily Hayes, Madison Holcomb, and Alex Degman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.